Welcome back to the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent, and of course I'm joined this week by my co-host Keshav Bhatt, the man behind the Charlie Intel account for the last 8 years and the man with all of the knowledge in the Call of Duty space. So thank you for everyone listening. He's the man that's going to be able to tell you about everything that's going on. So in this week's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Black Ops Cold War, Warzone, and Modern Warfare's new progression system. We're also going to talk about the new prestige system. And following that, we're going to talk about the Black Ops Cold War launch roadmap. And we're also going to talk about the PlayStation advantages. So as we know, every year, PlayStation has exclusives. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that's going to entail. And then finally, we're going to round it off with an interview with Sally Is A Dog. He is a TikToker who has come from the Call of Duty space. And since March, he's basically gone from zero followers to around 1.4 million. He started getting recognized in the streets. So bit of an interesting guest. He's someone that I think has got a lot of insight into the Call of Duty world, and it was really great speaking to him. Okay, Keshav, we're going to talk a little bit now about the progression system that we've seen in Call of Duty being announced. And actually, when I loaded up my PlayStation yesterday, I was treated to a very different menu screen along with the 33 gigabyte update. So I don't know if you want to talk people through what's changed.
Yeah, so there was a massive news last week that came about how, you know, they basically called it the future of Warzone and how, you know, Warzone is going to move forward through Black Ops, Cold War, and Modern Warfare. It was a very lengthy blog post, but we want to give you guys, you know, the high level information of what you need to know as we get, you know, into the Black Ops Cold War launch and the rest of the year. And so the big thing to kick off is the fact that player progression is changing across the board, right? We have this new seasonal-based prestige system, and you can earn XP, you level up your level 1 through 55, and then after you get there, you'll get to the new prestige system. But I'd say the biggest thing about the player progression, and we'll go more in-depth on the prestige here shortly, but the player progression overall is the fact that this progression system will be worked across Modern Warfare, Warzone, and Black Ops Cold War. This is the first time we've ever seen an Infinity Ward and Treyarch game share progression, which is, I think, you know, monumental for the Call of Duty franchise.
I honestly just did not expect it at all. It was like, of all the times we've talked about it, we've never thought they could share the progression across all three games. It was more like how they're going to transfer from Modern Warfare, how they're going to keep Warzone balanced between Modern Warfare and Cold War. But of course, this is the perfect solution. I mean, it's actually quite clever.
Yeah, I think it's really smart, you know, because Modern Warfare at this point is the best-selling Call of Duty game of all time, right? They announced that, so they don't want to just drop that game off and forget about all those players. And so now here they have a solution where everybody can come forward, right? Warzone will come forward with you, your Modern Warfare stuff comes forward, and people who are upgrading to Black Ops Cold War this week, well, you can play Warzone as well, which is, I think, you know, a statement for how Call of Duty will be in the future, right? They're not going to leave previous games behind so fast. You know, if you look at the past, right, when Modern Warfare came out last year, Black Ops 4 was like gone. No one talks about it. No updates, nothing. Every single year is the same story. But this year, very different story. And I'm glad Activision finally realizes the potential of their current game versus just going all in on the new game, which is, I think, big for them. Beyond progression, I think they also announced the weapon details, which is, I think, pretty huge, is that, you know, when you go into Warzone, you can pick between your Modern Warfare and your Black Ops Cold War loadouts. Yeah. This feature comes in December. At launch, you'll only be able to have Modern Warfare content in Warzone, not Black Ops Cold War yet. But in December, you'll be able to make loadouts with your Black Ops weapons and your Modern Warfare weapons, which is huge, right? Because Modern Warfare has its massive arsenal of weapons they've released, and Treyarch has their weapons. I think, you know, the biggest worry that I have going into this right now is weapon balance. How yeah. the developers are going to balance Modern Warfare floor root weapons compared to Black Ops weapons, right? I mean, they showed an image on their blog that had like the two AK-47s of the different games, but in Black Ops Cold War, the AK is much more used, or I guess more powerful compared to Modern Warfare's AK. So like, how do they balance that? That's a question they haven't answered yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think we mentioned last week, but yeah, how are they going to make it so that the Cold War weapons are more powerful so that then you're inclined to, you know, level up in Cold War by Cold War, essentially. I think this is the best solution. They've obviously come about to do this just simply because they felt like they couldn't leave Warzone, which is, again, what we said before, it's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I guess the last two pieces that they announced in the overall progression blog that they posted was your operators and battle pass. So for those of you that are getting Black Ops Cold War this week, once you unlock an operator in Black Ops Cold War, they are usable in Warzone. That is the only piece of content that's instantly unlocking from Cold War to Warzone, which is cool. There are some great selection of operators in Cold War that you have to unlock through playing Cold War only right now. Yeah. Once you get those, you can unlock them. And then finally was the Battle Pass system. Again, Battle Pass returns. It returns December 10th with Season 1 in Black Ops Cold War. You know, similar 100 tiers, free track, premium track. I just add the biggest thing from this whole announcement was the fact that if you're going to continue playing Modern Warfare multiplayer in December onwards, your multiplayer progression counts towards this Black Ops Cold War Warzone Battle Pass. So if you don't want to get Black Ops Cold War, but you still want to play Warzone and Modern Warfare, you can absolutely do that. And you can still level up this Battle Pass. But I'd caution there that the weapons won't be Modern Warfare weapons. You can only use them in Warzone and Cold War. You won't be able to use a Cold War weapon in Modern Warfare multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing to know.
Yeah. I mean, when I went on yesterday, I noticed that like on the Warzone and Warzone, like on the Warzone menu system, it basically like, they've got rid of the factions, which didn't really serve much of a purpose before, I guess. But I guess if you're on the enemy team or whichever. But yeah, they've changed it. So now it's just all of them, which is, it's not as intuitive as it once was, but you know, it's, I guess it is what it is. And then I'm guessing below that, we're going to be able to see the Cold War players as well, or the battle characters, whatever's unlocked. So I'm looking forward to playing and finding out how it works anyway. Because I think, you know, no doubt when we, you know, you get in Warzone, you'll suddenly start seeing all these Cold War characters kicking about, which will be interesting. I just, for me, I'm obviously we'll find out pretty soon, but I'm really interested to see how the guns and the characters look in Warzone when it feels like a different, like, sizes of players. You know what I mean? In the Treyarch games, everyone feels a bit bigger. You know, Infinity Ward games, everyone seems a bit more slender. So how's that going to translate over? That's the key thing I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, they're going to have to, you know, make these characters and weapons work on that Warzone engine. And so I'm sure tomorrow when the game goes, or on Friday, when the game goes live and Warzone gets these operators, we'll start to see, you know, the differences between how these operators look in Black Ops versus Warzone. And that'll give us our first indication as to what to expect in December with the engine differences.
So news that's going to please the Charlie Intel fan base is that there is, despite this cross progression, there is going to be a prestige system in Black Ops Cold War. Now, just to show you how many people really wanted this, or maybe more than me and Kesh have even realized, is we did a poll on Charlie Intel Twitter that received nearly 140,000 votes, and 88% of people wanted it back. So we now have some kind of prestige system, and somewhat rather fittingly, we're going to allow Prestige's Key to explain how that prestige system works.
Prestige keys are going to be used in a new feature coming in Season 1 called the Prestige Shop. In the Prestige Shop, you'll be able to unlock legacy prestige icons from previous games you could then use as your prestige icon. So it's kind of similar to Black Ops 3 and Black Ops 4, where once you ranked up to rank 1000, you had access to more and more icons, except this time around, when you rank up, you earn keys, and you can use those keys to select and choose specific icons you want to represent in-game.
So as you saw in that video with Prestige's Key, he's explaining the new Prestige Shop and Prestige Keys that are part of this all-new seasonal Prestige system, which is pretty massive for the fan base, right? We showed that poll. People wanted Prestiging back. And so just the quick recap based upon what you guys saw in that clip too, right? Each season, there will be new Prestiges for people to play. And what they said is that there's going to be 25-plus Prestiges total throughout the whole year of post-launch content. And so every single season, they're going to add 4 prestiges that you can rank through up. One prestige is considered 50 levels. And then as you get higher and higher to the max prestige, you earn a master prestige reward. And as you get those prestige keys unlocks, you go to the prestige shop. You can start picking out your emblem. It's really cool. They were saying that they're going to have Black Ops 1, 2, 3, and 4 prestige emblems available for you to make your new icon. You can change overall, you know, how you look, how you play. You can also get battle pass tier skips. So it's a really interesting system, right? They're taking the best of the seasonal offering, the best of this prestige system, combine it together in one, but they're also letting people who love that grind and playing and earning a level up a chance to do so, right? Just because you reach that master prestige at the end of the season does not mean your leveling is done. There's up to 1,000 levels every season. So once you get through those 4 prestiges per season, you can still rank up to level 1,000 and there's still new rewards every 50 levels. So you're always leveling up towards something, always grinding for something. And for those people,
is it even physically possible to do it?
I think so. You know, I know Call of Duty players, right? Call of Duty players, how fast they got to 155, you know, every season. Like some people tweet us the night of the season launch, they're already at 155. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of 1,000 levels pretty quickly in the game. You know, I think a lot of people who are more casual.
It resets every pass, it resets.
Correct. Every pass, it'll reset, but you don't lose any rewards. You don't lose rewards and you don't lose icons. So every season, there's an extra 1,000 levels, basically, to level up. And it's important to remember, right? This is the system for Warzone, Cold War, and Modern Warfare starting December 10th. So there's a lot to grind for. For those of you who got mad that 155 was the limit in Modern Warfare, this is basically built for you. You have an unlimited sort of path to keep on ranking up. And if you're not interested, right? I mean, you can still grind those levels. You don't have to go to level 1,000, but there are rewards waiting for you if you do.
And so is it going to show in game, instead of saying 155 next to someone's name, it'll say like level 700?
Probably. That's how they've done it in games past, right? I think games past have had 1,000 levels sometimes. They've shown the levels. So yes, you'll see level 1,000 players, and I'm sure people might leave that lobby very quickly if you see a level 1,000 like, player.
He's cheating. Oh, no, he's level 1,000. Yeah. Yeah, you're leaving those lobbies 100%, especially in S&D.
Yeah, so the great new system. You know, Treyarch explained in their blog too that this is like the compromise, basically, because their data shows that people want that seasonal sort of system, but people also want that grind. I think I summarized it best in our article, right? They put the best of both worlds together.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're giving people who like one what they want, the people like the other one what they want as well, and everyone wins here with this system.
Yeah, exactly. I was almost thinking a bit too linear when I was kind of thinking about how they'd do it. But yeah, this kind of makes sense. Again, it's like the shared progression between the three games. Kind of makes sense to have a system like this. So yeah, we're obviously going to learn more about this in the week. So in next week's episode, we'll be able to give you a much deeper dive on how it works. Although the new season doesn't actually come out. That kind of ties into our next topic, which is the post-launch roadmap. So it's going to start, I think it's December 10th, I believe.
Yeah, so the season one starts December 10th, but just a little bit of a stop gap before then is November 24th, Nuketown comes back, which is pretty exciting. I think every Black Ops game since the start has had a Nuketown, and this year will be no different. They showed us, I think, a very quick image in that roadmap of Nuketown. They're calling it Nuketown 84, where that's how the map is set. And it looks pretty cool from that, but we need to see gameplay before we can sort of take it in.
Okay, so there's been mixed reactions to Nuketown coming back. Now, starting off with the negative, we have Pomage, who's obviously in FaZe Clan, well-known sniper. Now, he's actually said, after playing 4 versions of Nuketown, it's tough for me to get excited as a DLC, which I can totally understand. It's kind of weird that it isn't just included in the main game, considering, you know, how old the map is. And yeah, I kind of agree with him. Can you get excited by Nuketown when it's basically playable? It's been played to death. You know what I mean? It's not like there's going to be many changes to it.
I think you can, because the fact that people always demand that 24/7 playlist for Nuketown, and it just brings back the nostalgic feel for players too, which I think is a good thing to do. But at the same time, right, I agree that it shouldn't be DLC. It should have been there on day one. Releasing it 11 days after launch just seems kind of odd. Day one would have made more sense, but hey, I guess that's how they want to space out their content to get players excited.
Yeah, so Nero Cinema, YouTuber, he said, it looks like the site has been completely abandoned and it's been hit by taggers or graffiti artists. Visible time has passed. This is how I wanted them to make remakes in BO4. I'm very happy. So on the other side, you know, he's kind of thinking that this is how it's finally meant to look. I mean, judging by the screenshot, it doesn't give a huge amount away, but obviously it looks quite barren. It does look like more of a, you know, I didn't really love the futuristic look of the BO4 one, but this kind of looks a bit more grungy, but I do worry that there's just going to be crap all over the map, like we normally have in Call of Duty maps, where it's like, oh, it's just a random bin for no reason and some reason, and just you just know there's going to be like a glitch so that part of it you can't shoot through or something. And then finally, we're going to listen to a British YouTuber who's pretty popular, known as Dalek JD, and he talked a little bit about his thoughts on it too.
Will be a free DLC map coming November 24th, which means after only 11 days since launch, there will be a piece of DLC for the game already. And here is our first look, ladies and gentlemen. And I gotta say, it looks amazing to me. And one thing that strikes out more than anything is it looks very, very colorful, very vibrant. We can see the immediate details of that Nuketown bus in the middle has been graffitied over.
So the roadmap also showcased some content for what's coming in season one, and season one will start in December 10th specifically. And the roadmap shows that we're going to get more multiplayer maps and modes, which is good. People, hopefully there are more 6v6 maps to come. Yeah. A massive thing is gunfight. The 2v2 gunfight mode that Modern Warfare introduced on those small paced maps is coming back to Black Ops Cold War. The imagery in the roadmap shows what appears to be a new map. So I'm guessing they are making a new selection of maps specifically for this smaller four-player action. New weapons, of course, with the Battle Pass. They're saying a new Zombies mode. So people expecting a new Zombies map might have to wait a little bit longer before that. It just says modes right now. And lastly, it says a classified Warzone experience, which is pretty big, I think, because this is our first sort of new Warzone map that we'll get to play. Based upon what the image shows, it says something about an island, and people who translated that, it translates to Rebirth Island. Which in Call of Duty lore, that appears to be Alcatraz. And just to add on, you know, more support to this is the fact that with this week's update for Warzone, they added in a leaderboard option for Rebirth Island too. So it's lending, clues to what we can expect with the next Warzone experience. Just 1 month away till we can fully play it and experience what's new from Warzone, especially if it's an island. Fast-paced action will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. But yeah, it's almost like classic Treyarch to leave something in like the roadmap. Like, there's no way that just got through unintentionally. And the same with the menu system where it says Rebirth, like that's been put in intentionally, and it kind of makes it exciting. What's to come? What's it going to look like? And from stuff that I've seen, it is very exciting. So I think we'll have to leave it at that. But we're going to roll into our next topic, which is basically the PlayStation advantages. So every year PlayStation is obviously getting exclusives, although it doesn't have the CDL this year, it's worth noting. So let's talk a little bit about the PlayStation advantages this year.
Yeah, so they already announced a couple of weeks back, which we talked about in a previous episode, the Zombies Onslaught mode, which is basically a survival-based zombies mode. But then late last week, they went further, took it a step further, and announced even more exclusive modes. And they announced four major exclusive things. So the first one is the Battle Pass bundle bonus. Here is basically when you buy the $20 version of each Battle Pass every season, PlayStation players get 5 extra tier skips with the purchase. So if you're on Xbox and PC, you get 20 tier skips, PlayStation players gets 25. They also announced the PlayStation Party bonus. If you party up with friends on either PlayStation or any platform, you get 25% extra weapon XP while playing. This has obviously caused some controversy on Twitter with the fact that PlayStation players can level up faster. And another leveling up incentive is double XP. They're going to have monthly exclusive 24-hour double XP events every single month, which is, again, another way for player progression faster on PlayStation than other platforms. And lastly, which I think caused a lot of sort of reaction, is the fact that PlayStation players get 2 extra loadout slots to use and create a class menu, which is, I think, is the first time they've ever platform-gated loadouts.
It's such a clever exclusive, because I guess that is kind of annoying. Although I don't really use 10, so I don't think I'd be that's something that. Although I play on PlayStation, but I don't think that's really going to be cause for concern for many people. I think 10 is often enough, but yeah, I mean, if you want those extra things, why wouldn't you have PlayStation and get the kind of, if you're that bothered about COD, I guess this is going to make the difference. But if you're not too bothered, it's not like those perks are going to be like you know, you're not going to feel too disgruntled. You know, the progression thing. I mean, how many I've got about 1,000 double XP points, like coins that I don't even use in Warzone. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you can, it's clever marketing by them. I don't really get people being annoyed about it though.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I showed in that tweet, you know, we talk about why these exclusives happen every single time, right? Why they're doing these exclusives. And it has to do with the fact that it's working, right? People don't believe that it's actually working, but it is. I mean, when Xbox had the deal, Xbox was the number one place for Call of Duty, the most players, most everything. As PlayStation 4 came out and as Activision started switching to PS4, Call of Duty is now on PlayStation, right? The most players are on PlayStation. Everyone's playing there. So even if we don't like this deal, it's working. Doing what Sony wants, which is making people buy a PlayStation, but then also buy Call of Duty, which is huge. So it's working for them, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's kind of the roundup of the PlayStation news. So for this next part, we're actually going to fire over to an interview that I've done with Sally as a Dog, who is, as I mentioned before, a up-and-coming content creator in the Call of Duty world, specifically... He is big on TikTok, where since March, he's basically gone during lockdown, and which he's turned his full-time gig now. He's basically gone from I think barely any followers to over 1.4 million. So let's fire across that interview with him. Joining me this week is Sally as a Dog, one of the biggest up-and-coming content creators on the TikTok platform. He's got over 1 million followers, or I think his followers on TikTok, is it?
Yeah.
Follows, yeah. And he paved the way for people doing Call of Duty content, at least in my eyes anyway. Sally, you're pretty new to the content game. You actually started just at the start of the pandemic, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Everyone had some free time on their hands, and I chose to use mine in Adobe Premiere Pro cranking out videos. It's been going well so far. Like you said, it's a lot of success on the new platform, and kind of moving that over to more traditional platforms.
So I first ever heard of you just basically like replying to, or first ever saw you replying to like Merc and Maven, who are like, for those who don't know, big commentators and also now big streamers. And I saw you kind of talking to those guys in tweets and stuff, started following you, kind of started to see the start of your TikTok. I feel like I've been there since the very start. But what made you kind of decide to start doing Warzone content on TikTok?
Yeah, you are definitely an OG as far as that is concerned. What made me start on TikTok was I was like cranking out YouTube videos, like 3 or 4 hours editing and, you know, bang out like 50 views, which is a tough return on that investment. And then I went over and looked at TikTok, and I didn't see any of like the big incumbents there. And that's fine. Like they're killing it on YouTube and on Twitch. It was the one space that wasn't super saturated yet. And the algorithm, at least most of the time, rewards good content. So I just try to figure out like what specifically people on TikTok wanted to see about Warzone. You had a bunch of kids, gamers, people who maybe hadn't touched COD before, but since Warzone went free to play, they had to be brought up to speed about, you know, how to play. So that was kind of the niche that I filled originally.
And obviously leaving a life of politics going into creating Warzone content, a little bit different.
It is. The side hustle turned full-time, what, like 2 months ago? When you're doing content full-time, sometimes you lose track of the days, weeks and months. But yeah, it was something I just started on the side. I'd been working in government for like 5 years. And all of a sudden this kind of blew up to the point where me and my wife sat down and we were like, well, financially this makes sense. And who the hell doesn't want to like play video games and make content? So it was a pretty easy decision. I was happy with what I'd done in government, but I'm really excited about kind of where things are at right now.
So why did you choose, what was it about Warzone that kind of makes it so appealing for you? And especially why do you think it works so well on TikTok?
I think it works well on TikTok. I don't know. I think of Warzone in the same vein that I think about Fortnite, in that they just both blew up and they were massive BRs, free to play. And a lot of the younger folks out there use TikTok and YouTube. And I think meeting the audience where they were at, like there were a lot of people on TikTok who were interested in playing in COD. What, I think Warzone had 35 million players or something nutty. Yeah. And I think it's just quick. Like, hey, you don't want to like watch a 10-minute YouTube video all the time to like learn, I don't know, how to slide cancel. Yeah. Just give it to someone in a 30-second clip, let everyone tell you it's cheating and hacking in the comments, and get 2.4 million views. Like, I don't know.
That's work. Warzone is obviously, it's just going from strength to strength. You know, it's, and as you said, it's just got, it's somehow it's just got this appeal, especially the free to play element of it.
Yeah.
And what part of Warzone do you enjoy the most?
I've always found like, well, definitely not solos.
No, nobody likes that.
Anyone who likes solos, seek professional help. I think that what I like to do the most is just kind of like goof around. Like there was one time I tried to just ride the train around the map the entire game just cause. Yeah. After a while, you can lose absolute full just dying to campers repeatedly. So, or setting a arbitrary Guinness Book of World Records for like loadout drops purchased. those kind of things. Trying to have like fun with it and getting creative with the type of content you put out there. Not always like this new meta.
Yeah, what do you make of the meta at the moment, like the fire shotgun and the kind of the kilo or the AMAX? Where does it rank compared to like the grab brewing or M4 before that? Or
I feel like we're in a good place with like the AR LMG meta. Like I think it's more balanced than it has ever been before, because like we bounced from, you know, oh, the growl popped in and then it was just growl zone. Yeah. And then it was the Bruin was just, if you weren't running the Bruin, you were dying.
Yeah.
And now they finally got the AR sorted, and now we're going back to just you keep repeatedly dying with any iteration of shotgun, sometimes with fire, sometimes instantaneous. It's frustrating. But I think you got to balance like what works for, you know, people who are trying to get like cracked out high kill gameplays on Twitch versus someone who's just chilling with their friends after work.
Yeah.
But I don't love shotguns.
I just don't get it. Like, why is there fire shotguns? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, I just don't.
Hey, let's do something OP and then we'll also add fire.
Yeah. And what we'll do is whenever you get shot with it as well, you know, on top of the fire actually hurting you, we'll also make it so that you can't see as the opponent. I mean, that makes sense.
That's like, the kicker.
It's like getting flashbanged in the face and then you're also on fire and then you're also dead within about 2 seconds.
Welcome to the gulag.
Yeah. Favorite gulag weapon?
God, no, I can tell you what they're not. Struggle mightily with the crossbow. I kind of like the SMGs or pistols, to be honest. I don't know. I feel less a chance there.
Yeah.
How about you?
Me? I like using the ARs or SMGs, really. Anything, but I hate when there's things where it's a bit too random, like when you just got fists and throwing knives. Yeah. I don't think I've ever won. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
But I literally, or sometimes, yeah, because there's no health, it's like, or no armor. So it's kind of like, it's a bit funny. Also with the, I don't really like the snipers either, because it just ends up being this like peaking nightmare.
Who's going to hold the longest?
Yeah. And then get on the flag, and the flag for them takes 1 second. For me, it takes 15. I mean, that's obviously just because I'm terrible, but you know, it's, do you think since you've been full time then, do you think you've got better at Warzone?
Yeah. I was like, even like that first week that I was doing it, just like the movement and like not thinking about stuff, seemed to come a lot easier. I guess that just makes sense if you're doing something, a lot more often. Maybe it's like the daytime lobbies are easier. I don't know, some people like to speculate on that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I still die plenty.
Yeah, well, everyone does. I mean, even when you watch the top streamers. But do you feel like you're in, since you've left, you know, since you've gone full-time, sorry, do you feel like you've got into harder lobbies because you are getting better and playing more?
A little bit, yeah. I think you can feel like the ebbs and flows of skill-based matchmaking sometimes too. It's like, oh, we went off our first game.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we're dealing with everyone wearing, you know, face skins and, you know, R9 fire and kilos beaming us out of cars. But it gives you like just enough, just enough. Yeah. Like you got the taste of the sweet taste of victory, or like, you know, a high kill game, and that gets you through the three or four games of the blender. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is a true blender. Looping back a little bit to, you know, leaving politics, going full time content creator, basically playing COD full time is part of your life now. How do you explain that to like friends or family who kind of like known you as someone in this quite a serious job in politics, and then now basically just playing COD? Because I know from my perspective that people just think I watch COD all the time or play games, but you actually do just play.
Yeah,
as well as all the editing, obviously.
Yeah, the editing is a labor.
You have to play a lot to get that footage, though.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes I'll just be like, yeah, I quit my job to play video games. Just kind of come out there with it, which is a wild statement to say. That doesn't feel not weird. But the other thing that I found is like so many people who I worked with before, who are also, you know, like a serious government job, have like found a lot of my stuff, now, and they're like, oh man, that's awesome. So like I found more people were gamers than I ever thought. Yeah. Which was cool to see.
Yeah, no, that is cool. And there's a story about you getting recognized in Best Buy. Is that the only time it's happened? And like, what kind of feeling was that?
I was a bit taken aback. I was trying to go get a new monitor. I had like my mask on, hat, whatever. And are you Sally's a dog? Yeah. I came back and I tweeted about it. And then I have this intern who looks a lot like me. His name is Steve.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
And Best Buy was like, well, as long as it wasn't that Steve guy, they replied to my tweet, which was, that was like the first moment where I thought to myself, this is something's going on here.
Yeah. So you've talked before to me about how when it comes to Twitch and it comes to TikTok, that you've kind of like opened up Twitch to a whole bunch of like people that haven't really experienced it before. So, you know, can you see Twitch kind of being a bigger part of your streaming career, especially with Warzone, or do you think it's going to be a bigger part of your content creation career, rather than TikTok? You know, how are you going to balance it? And do you think there's always going to be, are you trying to spread across all the platforms? Like, are you going to try properly with YouTube again?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the goal is like, you know, get as many people on as many different platforms as you can. The amount of times that I have been told, either in comments or tweets from people who follow me on TikTok, like, this is the first time I ever downloaded Twitch, is so high.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. I think it's a lot of people who have never touched like the streaming content, but there's a huge opportunity for competitive COD to get involved over there. I've been banging on my gong as long as I can for them to do that. But a lot of people who haven't like experienced this content world before, who are discovering it through TikTok. But as soon as TikTok monetizes in a way that is in some way comparable to YouTube, then I think the equation shifts. But right now, as far as making a living doing it, Twitch is number one.
Warzone, Black Ops, Cold War, it's all going to be a bit of a melee. Are we going to see a lot of Cold War content from you coming out?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. To the degree I can merge any Cold War and Warzone content, that's great, because about half my following is, you know, Warzone free to play. The other half are, you know, diehard played COD since the beginning fans. I will definitely be grinding Cold War content. Got all my G Fuel, Game Fuel in my fridge, ready to go for launch. Scary hours ahead. But just from like a player's perspective, I'm just excited to play something new too. So I'm sure the content will follow that a bit. Looking forward to them melding those worlds though.
What do you want to see? What do you want to see change?
Personally, I'm a Blackout fanboy. So like, I really like the movement mechanics.
You want to see the engine move?
I don't know.
Like one of the few.
If I'm a player, yes. But as a content creator who has seen incredible success with Warzone, I am always hesitant for them to like touch too much and to make you know, drastic changes that all of a sudden everyone gets turned off to it, because I think it's one of the best things to happen to COD. So I think from a engine perspective, that's got to go into the calculation there. I don't know. I this is uncharted territory, because of all the other big BRs, like Fortnite has just been, it's just Fortnite.
Yeah.
Whereas COD, you have a different title that you have to slap onto a BR, is nothing I've seen done in the industry yet. So they're kind of paving the way, and I'm curious and hopeful about how they're going to try to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, look, we're going to round this off with some quick fire questions. So I'll ask the question, you answer, but just give a quick explanation about why too, if possible. Okay. Favorite AR in Warzone?
Kilo. It's consistent.
Favorite SMG in Warzone?
MP5, because I'm boring.
Same. Favorite Call of Duty gun of all time?
I'm just going to go right back to Blackout. It was a SWAT.
Favorite Call of Duty of all time?
I'm going to get... I don't know if I'm going to get rushed for this. I like Black Ops 4.
Why?
It's just like kind of when I really came into doing content stuff as well. That was the first one like I properly grinded.
Yeah.
But when you nailed the movement, it felt like you were dancing a bit. And that's why I liked it. Kind of had the BR element.
Favorite streamer?
Merc.
Why?
He was like the first one I ever found on Twitch when I like discovered this was a thing. He's been a huge role model and mentor to me. I guess Maven takes a close second. I got to include him, otherwise I get roasted.
From his big bald head.
Yeah, yeah.
Worst thing about Call of Duty wasn't...
You almost got me to say skill-based matchmaking. Nah, screw it. Skill-based matchmaking. Let's give the people what they want.
No reason why.
Yeah. It's just... to the degree that it is cranked up. I think there's, you know, give us range or something. I don't know.
Favorite landing spot in Warzone?
If you're stream sniping, definitely, you know, the towers. I like hangers.
Best thing about being a content creator?
You get to help people through a lot of stuff, which I have found is really cool. You think like playing video games is, you know, I'm just sitting here gaming, but the amount of DMs that I get are like, you help me through whatever I'm going through is actually high key one of the most rewarding things of it. And not something you would expect going into it. So there's a bit of a responsibility, but it's nice to moving from government to have some positive impact on people's lives.
And what's the worst part of being about content creator?
Not being able to completely lose full on stream.
Do you only ever play when you stream?
No. I definitely play offline to get like clips, all that jazz. But losing full is not fun. So I try not to do it. I try to set a good example.
Okay, and then for some reason, this has just become a question that I'm now asking every week. Favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich, peanut butter and jelly. Crunchy peanut butter, raspberry jam.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on, Sally. And then I'm going to go back to myself and Keshav for the rest of the show. Thank you.
All right, well, thanks for having me, Mike.
Where can people find you, by the way, if they want to look up your content?
Of course. You can find me at twitch.tv/Sally's a dog. TikTok, Sally's a dog. Twitter, Sally's a dog. Instagram was weird. Someone took it. Sally is dog.
There you go. Thanks very much, Sally. And we'll speak soon.
See ya.
Okay, so we're going to round this out. So for people listening or watching, we want to hear your thoughts on the episode. And we also want to know what you want us to talk about in future episodes, including which guests. So please tweet us. You can tweet at me, Desert or Mike, or Keshav. I think it was Keshav Bat, all one word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or, of course, you can tweet at the Charlie Intel account. This has been the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent. Thanks for taking the time out. Keshav, thanks for your time as always. And we'll be back next week when Cold War will have been released and we'll have a whole lot more to talk about.